how everything was happening.
Yeah, on the fact. And
he wasn't going to church or got together for 40 years.
And then I would speak to the, I saw more workers then than I've seen, you know, in any 25-year period. I had a cot and I went to a little room out in the 40 acres, which was our headquarters. And I would, the NC people were on 8:30, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, and I would go to midnight, sometimes 1 o'clock, and sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning. And I would talk about the need, you know, to respect, well, to the men, you know, need to respect their families and their wives and to, and their kids, you know, that they were first, and they had to really, if they wanted to be able to love and be loved, they had to start there at home, you know. And well, with the wives, you know, I talk about the same thing, you know, the importance of keeping the house happy, and that if that's happy, then from there, that's the basin of happiness, and if you can have that as a fountain, that it'll spill over, you know, into other relationships, into their in-laws, into their neighbors, and everywhere, but that has to be a determined effort to be made. And so, as I spoke about this, people would come back and would say they were trying it for the first time and it was working. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. And I can go on for days in talking about the experiences
I'm going to ask, tell me what 40 acres is and what you're trying to do there.
Oh, 40 acres is 40 acres of land that we bought. It's barren, it's full of alkali. It's right next to a dump. We're trying to make that the headquarters of the union. We hope someday it'll be a national union, and, you know, representing workers all over the country. But most important than that, we're trying to make it a spiritual center. Not necessarily by building a temple or a church, but making a spiritual center by trying to make love as real as possible, and yet as human as possible, and trying to turn it into a center where workers who come from other places will see that the whole involvement in nonviolence and our concern for social justice is not a political gimmick, or it's not an economic thing, but it's a concern for human beings. And thereby affecting, we hope, the leadership of the union, that as they go to distant places, you know, to deal with farm workers, they will keep in their uppermost in their minds that they're human beings, and that the leader's role is not one of subjecting, you know, the followers, or not one of dictating to them, but one of cooperating and setting examples, so that they were able to organize a union. They will have, first of all, a barrier against the workers and the leaders, certainly, temptation for corruption or for using it for their own self-interest, or forgetting about the important issues, you know. And and also, we want to keep what we have now. That's the most crucial thing. We have a what I would call a Christian radical philosophy, but very basic kind of belief, you know, that well, the human beings are the most important element that we can hope to come in touch with. That if we lose sight of that, to them there's no use doing anything else. That is the most important thing. And so we have a lot of hopes. We don't know what's going to happen. We know that movements turn into, sooner or later, they're successful. They turn into institutions and, you know, all these things that is. But I think that it's possible to really, you know, affect large numbers of people, especially the poor, as they begin to organize and begin to get a better way of life, that they don't grow complacent and think, well, this is it, you know, but that they will always be concerned about the other man and about the other problem and about all the burning issues that we're faced with on discrimination and peace and exploitation. And so the 40 acres really, we hope it'll be the spiritual center of the union. It'll be built into the headquarters, but more than that, we hope it'll be that kind of environment there. And we're building a wall around the 40 acres, and we're building, the buildings will be, well, I think the idea is really Moorish, you know, where the gardens face inside. But what we get this from Spain and from Mexico. Yeah, and we're building out of, we're using the natural elements, you know, adobe and tile, and wherever we can, some wood. But that's what we, it's not take a long time. Obviously, you know, we have to win the fight first. We're doing a lot. We're involved in a lot of things. Not only the strike and the boycott. We're involved in working on the co-op. We've got a credit union, which is really coming into being, and it's giving the workers a lot of service. We have a very good co-op, really becoming a real part of the workers' lives. And then we have the service center, where we, you know, service workers with their own individual problems. And then
our problems, what they mean?
These are problems that are not necessarily employer-employee relationship problems, but are problems that the worker has because he's poor, minority, can't speak the language, or doesn't have an attorney, doesn't have money for a doctor, this kind of thing. And we take those problems and deal with them.
I interrupted you there. Go ahead.
Well, we deal with them so that we try to, if a man comes in with a problem, we try to give him complete service and anticipate all the problems that he may have. I think that we're doing a very good job. And of course, more has to be done, because the more you do, the more demand there is. No.
I don't know if I should even ask this question, but I was just wondering if, well, I won't. I was going to ask what, you know, advice you could give to, there are lots of other groups of people who have the same kind of approach, with hard work could have results, but that's getting off the field a little bit, I think.
It's very hard to advise people. The best you can do is try to, the best advice is really for your own actions. And they don't need advice, they need help, you know. They need people to commit themselves totally. See, the biggest failure in people who want to do this kind of work is that they don't let themselves go. They can't make that final and total commitment. And this is what we tell our people. Say, look, there's two types of workers. One who those who work here in a union because, well, it's a job or something new, and those who are committed and want, really want to use their lives to bring about some change.
Not the way you use it. No, no, not the way it's tone of voice, but if you use a different kind of voice, that's a very offensive term.
It's offensive.
It's on his car.
No. Punk.
You see that? It's offensive.
Punk?
If it's not offensive.
God almighty.
Right. Look at that.
Look at that.
Look at
that. He's got a red devil.
What?
He's got a devil.
Look at this
devil in the back.
Oh, you're not going to hit him in the back. I'm sure.
That guy can spin venom at you if you do.
Do you know any of the farmers, the growers, personally, as people?
Well, you know, we've come in contact with their knees and their elbows and their tongues many times, and their lawyers and their courts and all those things. I can't say that I know them personally. Of course, I know all of them. And
they know you. And they know you.
Well, they think they do. I don't think they really do, you know. They know who I am, but what I look like, but they don't really know, you know. I would say that once we get through this very difficult period, we're going to find out that they're not, you know, what we think they are. About everything else, they're human beings, you know, and that we can't lose sight of that. However hard it would be to love them, however hard it would be to accept them, you know, they're still human beings. That's crucial, that we can't stop for a moment understanding that.
You must find not to forget that yourself once in a while.
Yes, sure. That has to be uppermost in our minds.
It's not difficult to forget those things, you know, in the heat of battle.
Pardon me, Juanita. Can you please take your scalp and hold it?
Who does?
You must have a whole set of attitudes from your childhood against those kind of people. I mean,
well, you know, life has been
so far. You're in great shape, man.
You're okay on this side.
The car's right behind you.
I've only went two because it forced me to, and I'll never go anymore.
Boycott. Come here, Boycott. Oh, you see Boycott over there?
You see Boycott everywhere.
Yes, he's over there by the fence.
Toronto is full of Boycott.
I figured it out.
Don't want you recording any of this stuff.
I think that's...